This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Petey, you better get written permission up on that whiteboard in the old writer's room before you start muscling in on mothers and smashing your hairy mouth up against the face of their newborn children. I mean, what is the matter with you, kid? Oh,
Pete and Sebastian Show. We're back, baby. We're starting it up. We're going right in, hopefully, to a phone call. Hank, our new guy. This is all new to him, but he's getting our one guest that we tend to have on whenever we can, when it's been a while. Anything to share, so, Sebastian Maniscalco?
So do you want to explain to the listeners why? Oh, yeah, here we go.
Sorry, Corey up is not available.
Hank.
So, could you explain to the listeners why we're not able to hear Hank? Is that some type of technical difficulty, or is that?
From what I understand, it's not different than, honestly, it's not different than the way someone had to come in and play shortstop for the Yankees after Derek Jeter. It's not an easy job to fill, and Hank said he wants to focus solely on the drops and being there for us, and he doesn't want to be involved from a voice aspect right away because he feels like it's too soon since DJ Lou has left, and he can't compete with that, which I don't disagree with.
Listen, the listeners are wondering why DJ Lou is not with us.
Hank. Oh, all right. No one can hear you. So what were you saying? The listeners have been wondering what... Yeah. It's an awkward thing. I mean, please.
Yeah, we didn't even explain it. Why he's not here. We didn't, none of that.
Are we going to? Or, should we leave
that? Well, no. I mean, I think the listeners deserve an explanation. Serious, wouldn't let Lou out of his contract over there. So we have taken on Hank, who doesn't have the personality Lou has, and like you said, it's a little uncomfortable getting up on the cast. So we're dealing with silent Hank
for now. We wish Lou the best. Lord knows we loved him, and he'll be missed, man. He'll be missed, and the future's the future. That's all I could say. I'll leave it at that, right?
That's all you could say is right. So while Lou. when you do that, are you off your own camera, or are they catching that?
I'm off my own camera.
Okay, because you're off all the cameras. You do a side hustle, and then you come back.
Yeah, it's fine, dude. It's fine. Don't worry, man. I'm a happy guy. It's all good.
I'm not questioning your happiness.
No, I know. It's just. It's just a whole different ballgame now when we see each other, because you thrive in that world, man. You would be an unbelievable as? You would be the best fucking detective of all time. You would take three steps into a room, take one sniff, and go, it was Tony with the knife. I'm telling you, man.
I agree. No, I agree. I love to sniff out little, like you go and whatever you're doing over there, I'm clocking it. Like I'm looking at the artwork behind you. I'm thinking, is that Sadie's? He's in a different office. What's going on over there?
Same office. That's Sadie gives me a new picture every weekend when I go home. So that's from her, and I put them up on the wall, So
I was in Las Vegas at a corporate event. And the corporate event was at the Rio, but I was staying at the Wynn Hotel just because I like the Wynn Hotel and I like the spa. So I went down for a steam before the show, and I'm very covered, as you well know, when I go into these environments. Robe, towel, slippers, the whole thing. I mean, the only skin you're really seeing is my ankles and my head and my hands.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in the steam room, and the way I do the steam is I go in there wrapped in a towel. Underneath, I got no clothes. I'm just wrapped in a towel.
Wait, yeah.
So I take the robe off, and guy turns the corner, heavy set.
My jeans are husky.
And he goes, Sebastian. No. He's naked.
He's naked.
With a towel over his shoulder.
Doing a naked intro?
So, I don't look down to see that he's naked. Do you ever just feel that someone's naked without even looking?
Yes. Yes. Okay. A man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he goes, Smash, oh my God, a big fan. I can't believe you're here. I'm a singer, and I'm performing in Las Vegas, and and he starts reciting some bits. Now, come on. I'm like, you're naked. Eh?
Yeah. Did you say that?
No, in my head, I'm saying it. And I'm trying to get into the steam room, but he's kind of like in the way. Nice enough guy. It's just like, I would think you would put a towel on before you come up to anybody in the spa. All right?
Yes.
I go, thank you. He goes, hey, can I get a selfie with you? Oh, come on.
Oh, whoa.
This guy wants to take a naked selfie? He wants to take a Nelfie?
What the hell?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Is that with us?
I mean, I got to stop this right here.
Oh, wait. I thought that was a...
No, that's the real thing.
No. I mean, we had 2 weeks ago, we had a 25-minute segment on Brad Pitt and the hotness of him. Last week, we had Pete trying to rank the NFL quarterbacks on looks. And now I pop in on a conversation, and Sebastian's taking selfies in the nude. This show is off the rails.
Oh, man.
Wow.
J.J. Watt, you might have a point, bro. It might have been the last two casts. I think I've had men go, you know what? You can approach Sebastian naked. They just love men. It's good to go. Brad Pitt. What is up, bro?
What is going on? How are we doing?
So, word just came out today that Watt is hosting SNL the night before Super Bowl. Let's give a round of applause. We're finally going to see the improvisational skills of J.J. Watt on a high level. And what I would like to know, and I think the listeners as well as Pete,
yeah.
A, how did this come about? And B, are you going in with ammunition?
Thank you. First of all, I'm very excited about the opportunity. Obviously an incredible, iconic show, and I'm truly thankful and grateful for the opportunity. I'm going in with some ideas. Yes, I have a couple ideas that I'm going to go into the table with. Obviously, they've been doing it for, 40-plus years, so they know what they're doing over there. But I do have a couple of skit ideas in mind, a little bit of a monologue idea in mind. Obviously, I've reached out to you two of the people at the pinnacle of comedic success. So really got a ton of great feedback from you two in the text. I appreciate all the zero ideas you brought to the table.
Well, I was going to bring up some ideas or possible scenarios, but I just wanted to get a little bird's eye view of what's going on behind the scenes.
Me too.
And I don't know if you can't reveal any of this information, by all means, but are the Watt brothers going to reunite?
We have a beautiful family conundrum because obviously Saturday Night Live hosting it, you want your family there. Like, you really want them there. It's a huge moment. It's exciting. My little brother, TJ, is up for Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL, and that awards show is the exact same night down in Miami. So my parents are going to be down there with him for that. Derek will also be down there for that. So I'll be in New York City hosting Saturday Night Live, and they'll be down wearing suits at the NFL Honors Awards show in Miami.
Whoa. See, I'm sorry. Man. If I was your dad, I wouldn't go to any of that. Instead, I'd go to the local bar and literally slap my dick out on the table and go, let me tell you about what's going on with my boys. I mean, you got to be kidding me. What a conundrum. What? Holy shit. My dad's at the shuttle from D3 game to D3 game. Awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty special. And my fiance, actually, she surprised me. She just told me today. But she's going to fly in a couple of my best friends from home for the show. So they're going to be out there with me, and we're going to have a great time. So I'm really looking forward to that. But to give you a little bird's eye view, really not a lot of conversations have been had yet, obviously, besides the conversations about hosting. You go out there for a full week. So I'll be out in New York City all next week. And starting Monday, you hammer it out. You figure out exactly, it sounds like you figure out a plan. And then throughout the week, you go. And it's a lot of work. I'm really looking forward to it and diving into it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you one story just to put in perspective what acting task you are taking on. And this is really something, man, what you're doing. I used to work front desk at a hotel. There was an Irish bar down below, and there was an old-time Irish bartender. And I was hanging out with him one time, asking for stories through the years. And he said one of his favorites was one time on a Saturday mid-afternoon at about 4:30, Robert Redford came in alone, sat down at his bar, and had two pints. And when he first sat, I said, "How you doing?" He got to talking. Robert Redford said, "I'm on Saturday Night Live tonight. And I'm more nervous than I've ever been as a performer in my entire career."
Oh! That's
great. Isn't that a great story? What the? I'm off my game at iHeart. This place sucks. It does nothing for my. I haven't been funny since we came here, bro. The corporate man is dragging me down, guy.
No, it's a great story, but I mean, if Robert Redford is standing up there scared, what am I supposed to feel?
I want you to be scared. Why? You've been skating through life.
I'm not scared. I've gotten knocked on my ass in front of a million, however many millions of people on television. If I stumble over a couple words, I'll live.
Exactly, man. You know what? Just have fun.
I plan to. Like I said, my monologue should be great with all the insight you guys have given me, so it's going to be good.
You got anything to add, Sebastian?
What? No, I'm listening. I'm waiting for you to give him the monologue idea I thought you had.
Well, I don't know if I want Pete's advice. Sebastian, I thought your Critics' Choice thing, whatever it was, your comedy award, I thought that was well done. I thought your presentation was well done.
I appreciate it. I don't think I was really on my game. I think I was in my head. I think the delivery was slow. I just wasn't happy with it. I appreciate the compliment, but I got to tell you here, going into this, if they want you to do something, are you cool with going, "I ain't doing that"?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Nice.
Absolutely. But I mean, I am also going to be open to doing much more than I think you would expect me to, because I understand what it is and that you have to really be willing to dive in and have some fun. So I am going to be open to doing some stuff, but there are definitely some things I'm sure where I'll be like, that's not going to happen.
Nice.
I just had to do it the other day, not on the same scale, but we were doing like a little pre-shoot for our wedding video. And the lady was like, "We just want a video of you guys doing a pillow fight."
Oh my god!
That ain't happening.
Oh Jesus!
Pillows, and she was like, "I'm gonna cut a hole in them so that the feathers fly everywhere during the pillow fight."
Oh my god!
Wait, what's the wedding video? Itself. What is this for?
You know, like you have a wedding video. They do like a they need some like B roll and just like cutaway shots and stuff like that. So I don't know. Hey man, Kay was with me. She was like, I don't know what we're doing here. So that made me know she's the right gal. We both were like, I don't know what we're doing here.
Oh man. So yeah, this is some exciting stuff. Watt on a text thread asked me if I knew any gyms that had turf in New York. I go, turf, guy. When I go to a gym, I'm looking for a treadmill and to see if they got 25-pound dumbbells. This guy's looking for turf for as he calls it, movement.
Incredible, man. Even hosting SNL, the man is always in training. I'm limiting my words here. The guy doesn't want any of my advice. He's obviously upset with me. It's all you, bro. I'm taking a backseat.
Wow.
Upset
between his legs.
See, that's funny. Hey, this guy's got it. It's naturally built in.
What did I tell you on the text?
What'd you tell me on the text?
I said I want to use one of your jokes.
Right. And then you just said now that you don't want any of my stuff, so I'm backing down.
When did I say I don't want any of your stuff? I was making a joke because you ripped on Sebastian's Critics' Choice. And then I was being funny, but I forgot that I guess you're not funny on iHeart, so I can't be funny on iHeart.
I'm telling you, I'm bringing everybody down. I apologize. I'm the anchor, man. I'm the anchor.
Sebastian got sensitive when I sent him that video the other day. He got sensitive that I said he doesn't text back quickly. So, and now I'm getting sensitive, so we're all sensitive. This is a sensitive trio. Let's go back to Sebastian telling a story of a man taking off his robe.
Bro, this guy was in the spa. And he was naked. He wanted to take a selfie naked. I mean, come on. Have you ever run into that in your career where somebody wants to take a selfie and they're naked?
I have not. That is new. That breaks protocol. For sure.
When he said, hi, I'm a big fan, did he shake your hand? Did he come for the handshake?
No, we did a fist pump.
That's practically sex, bro. He's naked and you're physically touching hands. You practically...
Was he holding a towel?
He had a towel over his shoulder. But here, this is the guy to ask. You're in a locker room with 50 some odd guys. Is it common for two guys to stand toe-to-toe naked and have a conversation?
Absolutely not.
Okay, see, not. That's what I'm saying. All right? Yeah. It's not even happening in football locker rooms.
Let's break it down here. I mean, if we're going to get into this scenario. Towel over the shoulder... but no towel on your body. What's the thought process behind that? What could go through your head when you're like, I have a towel, I'm going to speak to another man, but I'm going to throw it over my shoulder instead of around my waist?
I don't know. I've never put a towel over my right shoulder and walked through a locker room. Now, I've taken a towel and wrapped it around my neck and let it drape over my chest with the towel on.
Right.
But this guy went single towel over the right shoulder. And then on top of that, after the fist bump, and I go, he goes, after he said, he goes, that would be pretty weird if we did that, right? I go, yeah.
What, a selfie?
Pretty. Yeah, I go, we ain't doing that. And then I went into the steam room, and I just, throughout the whole experience, this guy, I was running into this guy. Like, I came out of the steam to get a little air. Yeah. He's there, and he starts it up again. Four separate times throughout the spa, this guy started a conversation with me. And by the end of it, he's telling me what to do with my career.
I love the confidence. I wish, I mean, that is confident man right there.
I don't know, man.
Was he Italian or Jewish by any chance?
Italian. Come on, man.
Well, I find that Italians and older Italians and Jews are the most inclined to walk around naked, like confident.
No Italians I know are walking around like that. So
now,
but that's beside the point.
Salvo,
no, he's please. Although Salvo wears, and he wore it to my wedding at the pool, they call it a mutani. In Italian, he had a, it was like boy shorts. He had like a Speedo.
Who?
My father.
Boy, well, the Italians wear the Speedo. He's wearing a Speedo at his age?
Yeah. He's 67 at the time. He's wearing a Speedo.
I love it.
That's a badass move. That's like drinking wine out of a juice glass.
All right, hold on. Couple watt ideas here, right? Number one, first of all, I want to ask you, bro. Correct me if I'm wrong. Your playoff game was on NBC, correct?
No.
No.
What? It was on CBS.
It was on CBS. I thought it was on NBC. But anyway, I think when you were on one knee resting in the end zone is when it was finalized that you were doing SNL in that moment.
When we were up 24-0 or the 51 points after that?
It was when they were coming back, but they weren't winning yet. You guys were still winning, but the wheels were coming off, and you know it was
There's nothing better than bringing up one of the most painful games of my life to Pete on a comedic radio show.
I'm sorry, man. You know, you had such a great season, bro. I'm sorry. It was an icon. Yeah. Got it.
Well, I'm messing with you, man. I'm just trying to get in your head now. I don't care. It hurt. I let it hurt for a while, and you gotta learn from it and move on.
So I don't know if you listened to the last cast, Watt, but Pete brought this up. When you're on one knee, and I notice a lot of athletes do this where they look up at the scoreboard and they're almost posing for a photo. Are you aware when you're on a knee or you take your helmet off after a play, the cameras are on you and you're acting maybe different than you would as if maybe you were doing a scrimmage?
During the game, no. Definitely not during the game. You're so locked in on the game, you don't even know what's going on around you, really. Pre-game, there's a little bit more of that. Like pre-game warm-ups, there's cameras all over the field. They got literally cameras everywhere. And you'll kind of catch a guy out of the corner of your eye filming you, or you'll see a guy in front of you filming, and you're warming up and stuff, so you're not really gonna look that cool, but yeah, you might pop the helmet off, squirt a little water on your face, and
oh,
you don't have that long of hair, toss the hair back. There's guys that have long hair that'll do that thing where they spray down their hair and then they lean forward so all the hair falls in front of them and then they whip it quick back. Those guys have pulled that move.
I love that. Dennis Leary was my favorite comedian because he had hair like that when I was growing up. I used to love that. See? So, all right, it ain't exactly ripping the pillow and popping it, but there is a little of that going on in everyone's life, a little posing. But I got to tell you, dude, when you were on one knee in that playoff game, bro, iconic.
I'm trying to think of what you're talking about because I heard you talk about it on the cast last week, but I can't – I mean, I obviously haven't put myself through thinking about that game a ton, but I can't remember when I would have been on one knee without my helmet on in the middle of the game.
I think you had your helmet on, but either way, it was there was some problem with the they were either doing a replay or a score clock problem, and boom, it cut on you, and it was like they always cut on you, even on the sidelines, they're constantly cutting on you. I mean, this was all destiny, bro. Taking the knee has become so known for you. I'm thinking halfway through the monologue, you take the knee and do a couple breaths and then come back up and finish. I got ideas.
Oh, man.
My only idea.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is a pre-tape of Peyton Manning. Maybe I just would be kind of funny if Peyton Manning was giving you acting classes.
Peyton, I agree with that. Peyton had the best athlete SNL of all time. He's phenomenal, and he's always great. He's got great comedic timing. He's got great deadpan humor. He's really good at all around, just good at improv, good at doing all that stuff. So I'm definitely going to give him a call before I take the stage, and it would be cool to get a little pre-tape with him.
Well, nevertheless, dude, you're always prepared and ready to go in everything in life, so I have no reason to think you're not going to crush this.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. I've known about this for about a week or so, and I told a bunch of my buddies, obviously close friends, about it, and before it got announced, and I've legitimately had four or five people, and this shocked me, four or five people asked me, they said, "That's awesome. What day do you tape it?"
Oh, my
God. And it's called Saturday Night Live.
Oh,
but literally four or five people in my life asked me what day it tapes.
You can't do a drop-in, Sebastian?
Me?
Yeah, you're not in New York City?
Well, drop-in, what am I? What do you think I could do? Just get on the show?
Yeah!
You know how hard it is to get tickets to that thing? How many tickets do they give you?
Same Wacko's I brought a...
They give you 10 tickets?
No more.
Are you using all 10?
Are you in New York?
No, I'm not. I'm just wondering, do you have all 10? And if I was, I would be there. Believe me.
Yes, I am using all 10. I didn't think I was at first, but then Kay surprised me with all my friends, and I'm very excited to be using all 10 now.
It's great, man. Your friends are going to have a blast, dude. It's going to be such a great
night. I'm excited. So, like, I looked at the schedule for the whole week, and there's an after party, too. And I thought about this. I mean, I know back in the heyday, SNL and parties were legendary. But how did they possibly do an after party every single week for this show?
What do you mean, how did they do it?
Like, I mean, if you're on the cast and you're going to this after party every single Saturday, I mean, I maybe I'm different, obviously, because I'm an athlete and I don't. But I mean, that is a lot of partying every single week.
Yeah, what? I mean, listen, Watt, we know you're well beyond your years. I mean, what are you still in your 20s? What are you, 29, 30?
I'm 30.
Okay, 30 years old. So, you know, these kids are 20 years old, probably 25, 26, 28. You know, they got some energy to go out. I mean, you're now in your 30s. You're settling down. Yeah, you're a different chapter in your life. And me and Pete, you're lucky we would actually make the Saturday Night Live taping rather than the after party.
I tell you, man, just tape the rehearsal and email it to me. No, but I'll tell you, I know from like Brewer being on there and some other friends I've known, it's stressful over there. So when it comes Saturday night after that show, it's been a long week, man. And they need some drinks and they need to unwind and let it all out. And then they don't have to be back until Monday morning. So they sleep it all off Sunday and then they come in Monday and boom, they start it all over.
I'm excited to partake in that, my friend. I'm looking forward to the whole experience, just taking it in. Like I said, it's an iconic show, and when I got that call, it was very, very exciting.
Well, congratulations, bro. You. We will be watching.
I got one more question before I let you go. Now, I know you told me a long time ago when we first met that you were not a big fan of going to the Super Bowl if you were not playing in the Super Bowl. Is that rule still in place?
I don't love it. Yeah. I mean, I went last year to present the Man of the Year award to Chris Long when he won it. So I went and I was actually at the game for the first kickoff because I had to present right before kickoff. But other than that, I haven't been to the game, been on the field or in a box or in any capacity. Because I mean, it's like, you don't, that's my goal. Like that's what we work so hard for all year long is you work to be in that game. And I understand that obviously 30 teams don't make it and two make it. But when you work all year long for one goal and you don't make it, it's hard to watch somebody else living out your dream. You know what I mean? It's like wanting to date the girl in school, but then you see somebody else going out with her and you're like, I don't want to go see that. It's tough because you put in so much effort and then you don't get there and somebody else gets to live out your dream.
No, I totally get it. I mean, if you're going to present something, I totally understand why you would go, but like your brother, he's going to be there. He's probably going to pick up the award. Is he got the same philosophy as you, or is he skating right after it?
Yeah, no, he won't go to the game. He'll be out of there. He'll be out of there before the game. Most guys do. I don't know many players that actually go. I think there might be few, but most guys don't actually go to the game because every player in the league gets tickets to the game.
Hmm. Oh, every player! Wow.
So what do you get two? You got two tickets?
Yeah.
So what do you? Why, you what do you do? Miami? Sell them or give them away? What do you do?
I find something to do with them.
Oh, there you have it, J.J. Watt, Saturday Night Live. I believe the date is February 1st. Am I correct in saying that? Saturday, February
1st? That is correct.
Tune in to NBC to see what Watt is going to come up with the monologue and some of his ideas. If we have any ideas between now and then, we'll definitely shoot you off, them off on a text. But know you're a busy man, and thanks for taking time out to talk to the Pete and Sebastian
show. Yeah, totally. And JJ, I got to add, man, I know it's hard for you to take any of this in right now, but the comeback of you personally was unbelievable, man. Just inspiring. And then those two playoff games, I know obviously you're not happy, but, man, I can't even tell you how entertaining they were for us. It's like watching an unbelievably awesome movie every Sunday. It was, and I know that's not, it doesn't do you any good right now, but I'm just telling you, man, it was great football, dude, and it was a hell of a year, brother.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys. This is my very first interview since the announcement of SNL. So I don't know what the world's doing not tuning into this podcast, but I listen to it every week. And I don't think I'm doing another interview until Jimmy Fallon next week. So the Pete and Sebastian show is in very high company, and we need to get the ratings through the roof. Hank needs to get it figured out.
Yeah.
Heart Radio.
I hope it went smooth with Hank.
Play for it.
Yeah. All right, man. All right, later.
All right. Care. Catch you guys later.
Bye-bye. Now, so,
yeah.
Listen, as you well know, we don't have a lot of guests. He's been a guest now for the past, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah.
He's come on a handful of times. You're not going to get that type of guest on a lot of shows. I mean, come on.
It's unbelievable. The guy's hosted Saturday Night Live. He just did an exclusive with us.
I mean, we're still here. You were the best of the best.
But I think I skipped over the story.
Yeah, no, I have thoughts about that too. I do too.
Get back to it. Because I was going. I didn't want to talk about the story when we had Watt on. But so I go in the steam room. And I'm steaming it out. And I like to do this thing in the steam room where when people walk in the steam room,
yeah,
I could tell their steam room experience right from the get-go. And a big tell is when they come in and hold the door.
Yeah.
And like they're at the train station or something. Why am I losing you?
Hold on. I'm just fixing that there. Okay.
They come in and they let all the steam out. You know what I'm saying? And then they walk in and they don't take the door and shut it behind them tight. You know, you're letting out a lot of temperature that way, right?
It's a big drop when you open a door in a steam room.
Okay.
It takes a long time to get that back.
I totally agree. And I don't know if you know this, and I don't know if we've discussed this on the cast in previous episodes, but do you know how to manipulate the temperature in a steam room?
Well, I know there's like a valve, right? And like, can't you cover it or something like that?
There is a temperature gauge.
Yeah.
Next time you go
into
a steam
room. I
think
you walked us through this once before. What do we do?
Oh, okay, I did. So you pour the water over it, and then... And it fools it. I think I just talked about this in the 4 or 5 different casts ago. But I didn't talk about this.
Yeah.
I generally do it when I'm in there alone. Now I'm doing it. I'm just getting up. There's 3 or 4 guys in there. There's no steam. I'm getting up now, taking a cold water, splashing it, and the thing goes on. Guy next to me goes... What'd you just do, man? I go, I'm tricking the temperature gauge. He's like, oh, whoa, I never knew that. I'm giving the entire steam room an education on temperature manipulation, right?
Yeah.
So the thing was so damn hot, I came out, and that's where I run into our buddy naked. He's still naked, by the way. I don't know how the hell... You could be naked for 15 minutes in the locker room. without putting anything on.
Well, do you think there's a chance he's trying to get a funny photo of him naked with you in the background?
He didn't have his phone on him when he initially asked me for the selfie. He was going to go to his locker to get the phone. What was I going to do? Follow him naked to his locker to take the photo? Come on, man.
It's ridiculous.
So I see him out in the hallway again. He goes, you should get your own TV show. I said, yeah, I'm not really passionate about that. I'm really happy kind of.
Oh, my God, you're explaining it.
What am I going to do?
Get the fuck out of here. Holy shit. What does this guy work for, Variety? What are you even doing? Practicing? Shit. I just sold out the Forum. Get the fuck out of here. I mean, guys on TV shows can't even do that. It's a backwards move, asshole. Put some clothes on and beat it. I mean, shit.
Oh, man. So I'm just, you know, being nice as I possibly can because I know this story is going to end up, oh, yeah, I met him in the locker room. Total prick.
Well, then he tells his friends he was naked. They're going to go, no, guy, no. You were the asshole in this story. Now, what was your answer, by the way, about your TV? You're not pursuing that area?
That's the problem. When this guy tells the story, he's going to leave out the fact that he was naked.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm sitting here in my jeans, buttoning up my shirt. You're naked in the story, actually.
Hey, can you believe he was naked? He didn't put a tie. What?
Yeah. Then he starts doing the Orangina bit for me. I didn't even ask. Guy's naked doing his act. Holy shit. Dude, I gotta say, I mean, I did a show once with Leary, and he told this funny story on stage, Dennis Leary, about how he was working out in the gym, and he gets the gym privately for a little while, celebrity thing, and that KD Lang was working out because she was a celebrity too, and it was just him and her in there. It was a funny story. And that's, I know you do that with the gym, but, and I know this isn't something you'd say yourself, and it's, I know most of the listeners are like, oh, whatever, dude, you're a regular person. But it does reach a point where, unfortunately, you know, people are going to do that kind of stuff. So, like, can you just do a call down to the wind and go, I need a half hour, escorted to the spa, half hour alone, escort back to the room? I mean, I think they'd only say no problem, right? Then they go in there, go up to the naked guy and go, get the fuck out of here. And then you go in.
I've never seen anybody bring security into the spa.
They go in, they empty it out. And then after they empty it out, they do a cold water dump on. So when you come in, it's already going nicey nice. All I'm saying, bro, is, and I know you want to get back to mundane stuff. So do I in the show. But you are selling out these arenas. That's Eddie Murphy level. And I think me and Hank both speak for each other when we say you'd never see Eddie Murphy in the steam room anywhere that you go. You're not going to. Kevin Hart, you're not going to. So, I mean, you know.
Listen.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen all the time. It's just this guy, I had to keep going back into the steam room to get rid of him because he had an aversion to the steam, I think. So I was almost passing away going in there, sweating, right? I had to keep going. It was like my hiding spot.
So it's like you drop and wait for a fight. You're in there so damn long.
So then I come out, and now I'm like, oh, he must have left. And what I really wanted to do is go in the hot tub. Now, at the Wynn Hotel, the hot tub is fairly large. You could fit about, I don't know, 15 guys. It's long. It's like a swimming pool almost.
Yeah, yeah.
I go to the hot tub. I didn't even see him. I don't know if he was underwater or what. He popped up. And as I'm going in the hot tub, he's in the hot tub. Like, I had a reverse and act like I forgot something.
Yeah.
And I had to run out of the hot tub. I was going to be in the hot tub with this guy. Right? I mean, like.
I mean, like, What could you have possibly forgot for the hot tub, right?
I actually padded. I padded down my bathing suit like I had. Like
oh, you forgot some... your wallet. You were going to buy a beer in the hot tub. Oh shit! Oh, now I wonder if this guy goes, "Oh, look at this. He's pretending he forgot something. He just doesn't want to hang out with me." I wonder if he knew.
I don't know, man.
I do the pat move all the time. I'll do it like when I'm coming into work. If I'm pulling in at the same time, getting out of my car as somebody else, I don't want to do the walk up into the, you know, how was your weekend, da, da, da. So I do the hard pat on my hands, and I go, oh, fuck. And then I go back to my car, and I open it up, and I watch them through the passenger window until they go in the building. And then I close the car door, and I go back in. Even though I'm going to sit next to them all day.
I do that too. I don't know why that is. Like, I don't want to go into a building or anywhere with somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would figure that you would be the type of guy that would go in. Like, oh, hey, what's up, Tony? No?
It's too much of a commitment. It's a 3-minute walk. That means I gotta make convo for 3 minutes till we reach where we're going.
Yeah, no, I hear you there, that's man. A lot. I'm just like that. Man, I don't like doing that at all.
So did you ever go back in the hot tub, or was that it, man?
No, you ruined the whole spa experience.
And, imagine you paid for the win. Your whole experience would have been ruined because of one guy.
Well, that's what, listen, I paid 40 bucks to use.
What am I saying? You didn't even play that.
I paid 40 bucks to use the spa. And it's like, I wanted to come out and go, I need my money back. And they'd ask why, and I said, well, there's a guy who wanted to take a naked picture with me, and I couldn't enjoy the experience. But, I mean, what am I going to say? So I just went back up to the room.
You got to just have a standard. You got to think, talk it out with Lana, and try to come up with a real standard, polite line that kind of covers how you don't want to be bothered, but explains it well, and just make that your mantra, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to, I'm in my own head right now, or just now's not the time, or whatever it may be. But, you know, so just your go-to, you know, just instinctually. Your belt popping that out left and right. But there's an interesting question here. This guy's clearly a huge, huge fan. And, like, you know, let me just take someone, for example, in my case. If I was, like, naked, which I'd never be, but if you did happen to catch me for some reason going naked from the steam room to my locker, and in that exact moment, I saw Mick Jagger. And there was a chance by the time I got my towel and came back, Mick Jagger would be gone. I might throw out a naked big fan. I'd hate to risk the opportunity, you know? I wouldn't go up and give the handshake, but just maybe the finger point. Big fan, Nick. Just to say I had his attention for 1 second of my life, you know? So, in that sense, I understand the kid's urgency, but then to be hanging around, it was
it's just, it was a little too much.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
I got another thing I got to pass by you, and I want to know if Sadie's been through this. We got a call from the school today. And they called Lana and said that Serafina got a little excited and grabbed another girl's arm and kind of pinched it and punctured the flesh.
Wow.
And she said, nothing to worry about. You know, sometimes kids at her age get a little excited. They don't know how to express it, so sometimes it comes out through a physical action.
She wasn't mad at the other girl?
No. Not at all. She just, like, got excited and grabbed the girl, like, you know, like,
yeah.
A little too hard. And so I asked my wife, I said, who is it? The state, by law, cannot tell you who... or us, who our daughter pinched, and
they can't tell the other parent who pinched the daughter. Because I'm like, tell me the name of the girl. I want to send a cheese basket over to the parents apologizing. Right?
That's a mob move. your daughter's expressing the Italian in her. She's excited Italian. I love it. I love it. And she's going, do you believe, you know, shaking another girl. It's illegal ramifications, bro.
Wait. You're telling me Sadie came home with fingernail marks on her arm.
Yeah.
The first question you would ask is, who did this to you, right?
Yes.
And she go, oh, Serafina did it for or whoever. Julie did it.
Yeah.
And then in that moment, your doorbell rings, and there's a cheese basket with crackers and a card that says,
you're right.
I'm sorry that my daughter acted out against your daughter.
It'll never happen again.
Never happen again. And you get a basket of cheese? Oh.
I don't know if it's the video and it's the face that's getting me, but I agree, bro. I really do agree. It's even if it's not closure, it's a big fat step in the right direction. It's a class move. It's a class move. By the way, why isn't your daughter just telling you the girl's name?
Well, listen, I didn't talk to my daughter yet. She was still at school.
Oh, okay.
So when I went to go pick her up, I talked to the teacher, and she goes, yeah, we told your wife about this. I said, yeah, you can't tell me the name. She goes, no, by state law, we can't. So I go, what do I got to do? Start looking at people's arms? Like, I got to start looking at the kid's arms to see which one it was. She goes, no, she'll tell you. Yeah. So she told me in the car, but we had a talk. She was embarrassed.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to look at me.
Yeah.
Because I do this thing now. When I get serious, by the way, I have different tones when I talk to my daughter, which my wife doesn't believe. If I get a little upset, the tone is upset.
Yeah.
And my wife believes that you should talk to the child with the same voice that you normally would talk to her, just telling her what she should do. So, for example, if Serafina's pouting, my wife will go, Serafina, stop pouting. You know, it's very diplomatic. Where I am, you want to go to bed?
Boom. I'm hopping in bed. Off of yours, I'm hopping in bed. Off of Lana's, I'm not even lowering in the volume of the TV. It's nothing. It's borderline pleasant.
Right? Right? I grew up with volume, and I knew when my father got loud, something was going down.
Yeah.
If you go like this the whole time, she don't know if you're happy, sad, angry, depressed. You gotta give some fluctuation.
Yeah, I agree.
Put your pants on and go to bed.
Well, I'm out with Sadie. I enjoy my kids' company as you do with yours more than anything, and we have a ball, and we're always, I'm a fun dad. We like to have a good time. But when it's time to change, you know, when I got to tell her, like the other day, she kept trying to climb in the front of the car while Jackie was inside. She kept trying, and I go, stop doing it. Sadie, stop doing it. Finally, I got to turn around and go, stop doing it. I told you 10 times, say stop. And then she starts crying. I go, oh, here we go with the crying now. Come on, kid. And then within a few minutes, we're back on par, right? And when I was growing up, I always remember with my dad, it was either fun, or I was scared shit. It was no middle ground. And now I'm realizing that's how it is with my kid. Because I'm either mad or I'm not mad. When I'm not mad, I'm a good time. Oh, right? Yeah. So, and the only way they know when we're mad is when we get up. I don't know. Kev still might be here. So, but yeah, it's when we yell, you know?
I agree.
Yelling works, bro. Why fix something that ain't broken?
I agree, bro. So.
So what totally are we talking puncture, by the way? What kind of what? L.A. mom? What do we got, a scratch on the arm?
I don't know. I didn't see the damage.
I want to see the arm. I don't even care about the kid. I just want to see the arm. What are we all getting hopped up about? Right? It's probably nothing. Do you know, I know a kid. Get this. The kid was having a toothache or something like that. Mother gave him Advil. Right? they found the Advil principal. I know the principal. He's like, we found the Advil in his bag or whatever. We have to automatically suspend him for bringing in Advil to school. You're not allowed to bring drug like that.
How old is he again?
I believe he was in sixth grade, I want to say.
Really?
Hank, does that make sense? Can we get a Google that shit on that, Hank? That was something that Lou used to do where we would Google. We would say that, and he would Google, like, try and find anything on Advil bringing it to school with an elementary school kid. Thanks. This may as well do something else in the meantime, bro. By the way, have you ever heard this unbelievably... I love this poem. Tell me if you ever heard of it, all right? I know you're not a poem guy, but tell me if you ever heard this one. Run from the sun. Stop. See the sun. Feel the sun. I am the sun. Do you know what famous poet wrote that?
John Jay?
Bro, me. Last night, I'm watching a movie with Jackie about poetry. And I'm like, fucking poetry. What the fuck's poetry? It's such, and it's bullshit, right? And I go, watch this. And I go, I just said that. I go, run from the sun. Stop. See the sun. Feel the sun. I am the sun. And Jackie's like, holy shit, that was great. I go, that's what I'm saying. Poetry. Bro, do you have any respect for that? Honestly. I mean, can we take the, can we pluck the flower here on this fucking poetry nonsense? Belt one out. I'll give you 5 seconds. Hank, can we get some poetry music? This is not going to work out.
Man, poetry to me is almost like rapping, which I'm awful at, right? I'm awful on the spot of putting things together that rhyme.
But bad poetry rhymes. Good poetry doesn't rhyme. That's okay. What I find.
All right. In a room, dark, windows, dark, moonlight, not, I love you.
Bro, it's one of the most moving fucking things I've ever heard in my life. I'm not even kidding. Room, dark, windows, dark. I don't remember the third one. Then I'm closing on I love you. Just not seeing that turn. I wasn't seeing that turn. I thought the person was dark, thinking, contemplating suicide. And then with the last line, I'm like, are they laying next to their husband or wife and they are actually happy? What a turn, bro. That's what I'm saying. And that's what we do. We sip coffee and say we're fucking great. It's ridiculous. That's poetry.
Well, you know how you really took me for a loop on that one?
Yeah.
When you read the poem, you actually had a notepad, right?
Yeah.
And you read it like you as if you wrote it down to remember it. So I'm like, oh, this is something special that this guy actually wrote the poem down. That's what threw me for the loop.
Right. But that's the point of it all. It doesn't matter about the words. It's like if some dude went up in a jean jacket and read a poem, you go, what a meatball. But if that same guy went up with a fedora on, maybe a long cigarette and a handle and a holder, right, all of a sudden, oh, he's a poet.
Do you know the warm progress under the stars? Do you know we exist? Have you forgotten the keys to the kingdom? Have you been born yet, and are you alive?
I got a story, bro. Where are you? You got something?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I had to share this with you. So, as you know, I go home on weekends when I don't have to perform from writing here at Kevin Can Wait. And then on Monday morning, I take a 5:10 flight out of Buffalo that gets me to JFK about 7:30, and I go into the studio. So, this past Monday, Martin Luther King Day, we had a snowstorm all weekend, but it stopped about 3 hours before I was heading back. And I always rent a car, so I got a cheap budget rental car, compact car, and it's 3:15 in the morning, and I'm on 90 West, which is the thruway that you drove from Cleveland to Jamestown. I don't know if you remember that thruway.
Yeah.
So I'm on that at 3:15 in the morning, Sunday morning, 11 degrees out, light snow falling. I'm about 5 miles away from home now, doing 70. I believe. blow a tire. That never happened to me in my life. My front left tire blows. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I'm holding the wheel, and I get it to the shoulder. There's an 18-wheeler behind me that flies by, and then nothing. Just me on the shoulder with a half a foot of snow next to me, 11 degrees, and nobody. And I'm ready to cry. I get out. I look at the tire. It's literally shredded. I'm like, what the? Oh, my God. What the fuck? I'm not going to make my flight. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know? So I'm like, holy shit, where are the hazards? I got to put the hazards on. And every once in a while, an 18-wheeler's flying by. I'm like, someone's going to hit me. Shit, do I call Jackie and do I abandon the car? So I'm like, all right, I put on the hazards. And then I pull out of the glove compartment, budget rental car, roadside assistance. I call that busy. What the fuck? So then I call it again and I get through. And the guy, and I'm telling him my car, the thing's shredding. He's like, where are you? I'm like, on the side of the thruway. Okay, are you safe? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, maybe you should get out of the car. I'm like, guy, it's 11 degrees. There's no houses around here. I'm in the middle of nowhere, bro. Okay, put the hazards on. I'm going to send you a text to your phone, and it'll ask for the longitude and latitude, and it's going to send you something that's going to show the longitude and latitude. And I need you to text me those numbers. I'm like, what? You can't just ping my phone and see where I am? I mean, the fuck? I could. I keep cursing. I'm sorry.
Potty mouth.
So anyway, about 30 minutes go by. I'm like, yeah, I'm just watching the mirror, see if, you know, making sure I don't get hit. I'm freaking out. And finally, troopers pull up, you know? And it's so rare that it's a happy moment, but he comes up. I roll down my window. He puts a flashlight on me. I look at him. I go, it's so good to see you. And I'm like, listen, man, I called budget. They say they're sending a guy. I got the flat. And he goes, all right, do you have a spare? And I go, I do have a spare, but I don't see a jack. And he goes, listen, whoever they call isn't going to be able to tow you. They're not allowed to tow on the thruway. So I'm going to call a tow truck that can tow you. 5 a.m, still dark, still 11 degrees. This guy pulls up in a pickup truck. Big, burly guy with a big beard and, you know, the full jumpsuit on. And he comes walking up with a drill and a jack. And the cop goes, stay in the car. Don't get out. It's not safe for you. And it's a little compact car. So I'm literally like just looking out the window at this grown man jacking me up like I'm fucking going up. And I'm like looking down at him. And he can't get the lug nut off. And he's cursing. He's going, your fucking mother's a whore. And then he goes back to his truck. And I'm like, oh, man. Does that mean he doesn't have what he needs and he's going to have to tow me? Or is his mother's a whore? He's got to... And then his drill was dead, so he had to come back with a new battery. And I'm like, all right, we're still in play. And then he can't get the lug nuts after he does them. He can't get them out of the drill head. Oh, so he's like, you're fucking... And he's banging the drill on the cement and semis are flying by him. And I'm like, this guy is so much more of a man than I will ever be. And then he finally gets the tire on, and then he goes, you got to come back in my truck and fill out some paperwork. And he's like, the troopers have still got the lights on me. And he's like, they never stick around this long. It's really nice of them. I was like, yeah. I look at him. I go, bro, you are more of a man than I have ever seen in my life.
Please don't say that.
And he goes, well, these shit rental cars. I'm out here all the time fixing flats on these things, right? So finally, the troopers... They don't want you to come up to their car. It's amazing. Even though once they know I'm safe, at one point I went to walk up to their car before the guy showed up to say something, and they get on the thing.
Stay in your car, sir.
I'm like, what the hell? We established that I'm cool, guy. Right? Lower your guard. Shit. So now I'm doing one of these John Mayer bows. They got the headlights on me. And I'm going like that to their car. Thank you. And I get this thing with the donut on. I drive to the airport. I missed my flight by far, but there was another flight. And I give them the whole song and dance. And the Delta's unbelievable. They're like, no problem. We'll put you on a new flight. And the lady goes, what's your name? And I go to give it to her. Get this. She goes, I can't find you. Can I have an ID? So I give her my ID, and she goes, oh, yeah, I can't put you on this flight because you're already on the flight to JFK. And I go, what? And she goes, well, I mean, I'm kidding. I'll get you on that flight. But they booked booked you. They put you on the flight. Like, they didn't check me in at the gate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going to have you take a seat over here for a second, but don't worry, I'll take care of you. I'll get you on the next flight out. They call over to the gate, and they make the girl come all the way out, and I hear them go, yeah, you boarded that flight. Did you board 17A, Pete Corielli? And she goes, yeah. You know, she's just going like, yeah. And she goes, really? Then why is he sitting over there? And she points to me, and the girl's like, oh. And she goes, that's Pete Corielli. Well, that's the third time you've done that, Cindy. You're booking, you're putting people on the flights that aren't even taking, because you can self-check in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you still got to, at the gate, they swipe your ticket. So she literally had to go report to a supervisor and fill out a report. It's like a big deal, bro. Do you believe that?
Well, so if
that plane went down, they would have called Jackie and said, Pete died. How great would that have been when I fucking call her up and go, ta-da! I lived, baby. I jumped, baby.
You could have a great story, man.
Yeah.
Plane goes down, one survivor.
Without a scratch. Unbreakable, baby. So.
Wait, you drove on a donut in a snowstorm?
The snow had stopped and the road was plowed, but yeah. And the guy's like, do 50. Don't go over 50 in the donut. I go, bro, it's a 65 is a speed limit. It's more dangerous to do 50 than it is to sit on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And that with the hazards on, you know? And yeah, man, it was a nightmare. And for anyone out there, I've learned now, pay the extra $5 a day for a larger size car. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're in a Yugo going to the airport. I mean, come on, man. This is the car is the same thing as the hotel room. Cheap car, cheap room. What you get. All right. Especially when your tire blows out. I had that happen to me where my tire blew out and I was on the way to dinner and I thought a sniper took me out. I swear to God, I didn't know what was going on because it was loud. Was yours loud?
No, it just all of a sudden sounded like I was on the rim. I'm like, what the fuck? But why? You sounded like a pop?
Yeah, it's like a pop. And I tell you, it's hard to control that car when you lose a wheel. Right? I mean, yeah. I had to get over to the side too. But then it's like, if it's that difficult to maneuver a car on three tires,
yeah,
what is it if an engine blows out on an airplane? You think the guys in the cockpit going,
yeah, I don't know. Are you still just fine with one? Are you still just totally like, all right, Tommy, tell him we got to do a quick landing here, or are you starting to white knuckle it? I would love to know that too, man.
Oh my God!
By the way, I forgot to tell you. It's too late now with the listeners. If I would have known sooner, but there was a big thing, a big reality. A reality show that's not that big, but I forget what it's called. Renovation. Something, but you know that guy Ty Pennington used to do Home Improvement?
I'm Ty Pennington. Now, you've probably seen me here building new homes for families that really need it. The thing is, it's an amazing job.
So he's got this show where he comes to a town that he thinks is a nice little town that he thinks he donates or puts 500 grand into fixing certain things up to the town to put it over the top from nice little town to really the kind of town people are going to want to come for a weekend, you know? 10,000 towns, got down to 5 towns for Donya, top 5. And voting ends, as we're casting, it ends at midnight tonight. And as of right now, we're still in the lead. I reached out to all the Twitter followers, and they hooked me up. So, yeah, we may win. Ty may be coming to town, baby. Good for the cast.
Half a million into Fredonia. What does that give you?
That gives you
Las Vegas almost, doesn't it?
Exactly. I thought you were gonna be like, what could you do with that? Fredonia? Forget it, baby. You could do quite a bit. Pretty that puppy up. We'll see what happens. So that's that.
Oh man. This is a great show. Thanks to JJ Watt for joining us. Exclusive JJ Watt interview here right before he does Saturday Night Live.
Big time. I just want to tell them that I'm playing, guys, before I forget, February 8th, anyone out in the Long Island, New York area, I'll be doing Governors. Just doing a Saturday night, two shows, February 8th, just announced. Just want to see if we can get them in there.
Governor's Great Club, excellent comedy, excellent food as well. So go see Pete at Governor's Comedy Club February 8th. SebastianLive.com. I got some new merchandise at the store. Go check that out. And we will see you here next week. Thanks for hanging, everybody. This is for Pete, Hank, and Sebastian. We are signing off.
The show has ended.
A naked selfie? He wants to take a Nelfie?
What the hell?